Good morning. The Democrats in the House released their version of the health care bill yesterday. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is hoping to get a vote accomplished on that by the end of next week. And the stakes obviously could not be higher for the House Democrats. The man in charge of making sure that all those votes are in is Democratic Whip James Clyburn of South Carolina. He is responsible for making sure that his party, at least in the House side of Congress, and the president achieve their domestic priorities. So Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick sits down with us again. He met with Clyburn yesterday, but Todd also walked around the halls of Congress to find out what exactly it's like to be the whip.
You've got to, at a certain point, appeal to the sense that we're in charge of this place.
There are carrots and sticks, and you have to keep your members in line somehow, I guess.
We don't go to the floor wondering whether we have the votes or not. We go to the floor knowing we have the votes to pass the bill.
It's a very interesting time when you're one of those handful of votes that will go, could make the thing rise or fall.
Todd, good morning.
That's the whip.
That's the whip. Good morning. So
good morning.
Obviously, as we said, the stakes are incredibly high here. Now, I assume that your first question would have been, Mr. Clyburn, is this bill going to pass, right?
Well, that's exactly right. There is so much at stake on health care, the president's number one domestic priority, Democrats' number one priority. You're exactly right. The first question for Mr. Clyburn has to be, do you feel like you have those 218 votes on this bill that you unveiled with so much fanfare yesterday? And here's what he had to say.
This is my third year as whip, and I never give out numbers. I will say this. I feel that we are in a good place with this bill. And so I look for us to be able to pass this bill without much difficulty.
Although we did just say before that the glove might have to come off and you might have to get tough with some people.
Oh, it's not going to be easy. I didn't ask to do this because I thought it would be easy. And that there are a couple of members who have let it be known to me that they may need to be whipped. They expect for me not to settle for less than their vote.
Todd, I'm not going to ask who said that they needed to be whipped because I don't want to know. But what he's really saying there is that some members of Congress felt like in order to put their vote out there that they need him to apply pressure?
Well, what they're telling him is that they're a no vote right now and they're going to want something in exchange for their vote to vote yes on this bill that Clyburn and Pelosi and Obama really need them to pass. And for a whip like Clyburn, it's a case of deciding whether to use the carrot, the positive inducement, or the stick, which is the threat of punishment. And threats can be part of this. You know, whips always stress that it's not about threatening people. It's about giving them, knowing what they want, knowing what they need, and giving them a positive reason to say yes. But threats can be part of it. You know, I went around yesterday and talked to some of the members of Clyburn's whipping team. These are members of Congress. One of them is Anthony Weiner of Brooklyn. He's a Democrat, and we've been talking to him a lot lately about health care. And the reason we go to him is that he's what's called a deputy whip. He helps Clyburn. He goes out and talks to members about their votes and finds out what they want and what they need, and he reports back to Clyburn on that. And Weiner says usually whipping is about the positive aspects of this, but that Clyburn can also sometimes have the iron fist. Here's what Weiner had to say.
I've seen a couple of members, you know, walk out of Mr. Clyburn's office a little bit ashen and say, you know, clear that they had gotten the message. I don't want to name names.
So we'll won't name names. But as I was asking you earlier about what kind of true power the whip wields, I mean, in the United Kingdom, the whip is incredibly powerful. And yes, you said that here they could take away some of their election funding and other things. But, you know, really, the Congress people, for the most part, raise most of their own campaign funds. And we haven't really seen historically members of Congress ejected from either the Republican or the Democratic Party. So what kind of power? We keep talking about punishments and threats. What are they threatening them with?
Well, let me give you one example. Historically, Republican whips have more power than Democratic whips just because the Republican conference tends to be a little more homogeneous in terms of its politics than the Democratic caucus. It's easier to keep members in line, and whips have a lot of power. An example from 2004, the Medicare prescription drug benefit, that one of Bush's top priorities, prescription drugs for seniors, that bill was not going to pass. until one member, Congressman Nick Smith from Michigan, who was a no vote, was reportedly threatened on the House floor by the whips and by the Republican majority leader. If you don't vote for this, your son will never become a member of Congress. We'll make sure he never gets elected. His son was running for Congress. After 3 hours of cajoling, he changed his vote. The bill passed by one vote. That's some power.
That sounds like mafia tactics to me.
Well, sometimes it can come down to that.
Okay, so, you know, we've seen some of these whips really rise to power. And in terms of names that are recognizable, it seems like there's more Republicans than Democrats. We've got Trent Lott, Dick Cheney, Newt Gingrich, Tom DeLay. Those are our Republican whips that eventually went on to bigger and better things. But in terms of recognizable names, it seems like we only have Tip O'Neill and Nancy Pelosi. Are the Republican whips get more respect?
Well, you've got Harry Reid as well, who's now majority leader. He was whip in the Senate for a good long time and a highly respected whip. You know, again, I think it comes down to the point that Republican whips generally have more direct control over their members. Clyburn would say that his caucus, his Democratic caucus, is so diverse with African-American members, Hispanic members, members representing poor districts, rich districts, that he doesn't exercise as much direct control over people as his Republican counterparts. That might be a little bit of spin on his part, saying, well, my caucus is diverse, theirs is homogeneous, but that's his take on it.
Okay, so you say that he has to offer them carrots and sticks. So we just talked about what kind of punishments. So what kind of things can he offer them?
Well, Clyburn keeps careful track of what members want and what they need back home. And he stresses that every district is different and that every member needs something different to keep their constituents happy and, you know, more importantly, to stay elected. There are 257 members of the Democratic caucus in the House. So I asked Clyburn how he keeps track of what all of these people want and need.
I keep it in my head. I spent quite a bit of time getting to know my members. I've traveled in and out of their districts quite a bit. I have events for members that are designed to make me more palatable to their constituents.
Events that makes him more palatable to their constituents? What kind of event would that be?
Oh, breakfasts, lunch, speeches, you know, they
free
want people
food.
Free food, sure. You know, they used to have the old pancake breakfast. It's a little antiquated now, but they still do it in some districts.
I still love pancake breakfasts.
Yeah, well, you go to them for a politician, and Clyburn goes to those with members. And sometimes in conservative districts that don't necessarily like Nancy Pelosi or the Democratic leadership team, it's important to him.
So who has gotten something? Let's dish a little dirt here. Who has gotten something from a whip for their own constituents?
Well, you know, these concerns we're talking about in districts can be incredibly specific. It can be quite amazing. It's not just necessarily a road project or that railway trestle you need built with federal money. I talked to Congressman Robert Aderholt. He's a Republican from Alabama. And back in 2005, he refused to vote for a big trade agreement that the Bush administration and his Republican leadership desperately wanted. They were dead serious about this. He was afraid that free trade was going to kill the textile industry in his district. And his concern was about socks, the ones on your feet. Listen to this.
We wasn't concerned about blue jeans or anything like that.
Did the president know about socks as well at the time?
Oh, yeah, he did. Yes, I talked to him about socks in the Oval Office.
I assume he means the production of socks, not the ones the president was wearing. But but you said that some person who got something, they got socks in exchange.
He got concessions.
Right,
a lot of concessions in exchange for his vote.
Okay, so who got whipped? Who got beaten down?
All right, well, talk to Congresswoman Joanne Emerson of Missouri back on that prescription Part D seniors drug bill back in 2004. She found out what it's like when you cross the whips. She broke with her Republican leadership on, again, one of the president's top priorities. She didn't want to vote for the bill and refused to, but she was promised something in exchange for her vote, and she agreed. But then later, the whips went back on their word. They didn't give her what they said they would, so she went back on her word after that. And then the arm twisting really started.
They called my home and woke my husband up at about 10 to 4 in the morning. They sent staff to look for me in my office. They probably called my cell phone, which I had on mute, but I could see who was calling 12, 14 times.
Because you crossed them, essentially.
Because I crossed them. At the end of the day, if the leadership makes a commitment and they don't follow through, then I feel no compelling reason to support them when they have purposely not helped me after promising to do so.
Got to be honest, Todd, these are the kind of machinations behind the scene that makes people not trust their legislators, but it is an important job, as you say, to try and get those votes in for a House bill, and we'll see whether or not James Clyburn is going to be successful at getting 218 people to vote in favor of that. Tom Zwillick is today's House Washington correspondent and Senate.
Hey, do you know what the whip does? What whip? The whip in the Senate and the House? Well, you know, in the old days when the senators didn't vote the way that the party leaders wanted them to, they whipped them. You better vote the way we want you to, or there's going to be big trouble.